Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Walk It Out. I am Leah McCray and thank you for joining me today. We are transforming our bodies as we transform our mind to the Word of God. So whether you are out taking a walk, on your treadmill, doing Pilates, whatever it is you are doing, just thank you for being with us. And as we get into this Word today, we are in Exodus, as you know. Or if any of you are joining us new, we are walking through the Word from Genesis to Revelations. That is the vision. And we are gleaning some awesome revelation through the Word of God from Holy Spirit. So just hang in there with us and allow God just to open up some new revelation to you. Amen. As always, we open up with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for this time together in your Word. Father, we just pray that you would just illuminate your Word to us, Father. Give us practical insight, Lord God. Give us revelation and how we can apply this Word to our lives so that we can live according to your will, your way, and that we and that your goodness, your great benefits and blessing will be manifested in our lives. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Well, I am outside today. So if you hear a little background noise, that is the reason. I am actually outdoors. I'm not inside on my treadmill today. I am outside. All right, so we are going to start with verse 1 in Exodus 8. I am reading from the New Living Translation today. And it starts, "Then the Lord said to Moses, go back to Pharaoh and announce to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so they can worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will send a plague of frogs across your entire land. The Nile River will swarm with frogs. They will come up out of the river and into your palace, even into your bedroom and onto your bed. They will enter the houses of your officials and your people. They will even jump into your ovens and your kneading bowls. Frogs will jump on you, your people, and all your officials." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, raise the staff in your hand all over the rivers, canals, and ponds of Egypt, and bring up frogs all over the land." So Aaron raised his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up and covered the whole land. But the magicians were able to do the same thing with their magic. They too caused frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and begged, "Plead with the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people. I will let your people go so they can offer sacrifices to the Lord." "You set the time," Moses replied. "Tell me when you want me to pray for you, your officials, and your people. Then you and your houses will be rid of the frogs. They will remain only in the Nile River." "Do it tomorrow," Pharaoh said. "All right," Moses replied. "It will be as you have said. Then you will know that there is no one like the Lord our God." Hallelujah. Come on now. There is no one like the Lord our God. "The frogs will leave you and your houses, your officials, and your people. They will remain only in the Nile River." So Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh's palace, and Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he had inflicted on Pharaoh. And the Lord did just what Moses had predicted. The frogs in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields all died. Okay, now listen to this. Just going to pause a moment here, because the magicians were able to make frogs appear, right? But they had no power to stop what God put in motion. Amen. So the enemy was able to duplicate what God was doing, but only to a point. All right. And another thing that I like about this that just now came to me, the enemy can inflict damage, right? But God can stop it. God can stop it, but the enemy cannot stop anything that God starts. We can allow him to interrupt what God is doing by giving him power, by submitting to him and believing his lies. Okay, but he can't stop the blessing of the Lord on our lives. Only we can do that. Only we can do that. That's some good revelation there, guys, that the enemy is powerless to stop what God sets in motion. The blessings and the promises that God has over our lives, we are free to walk in those if we trust and believe them, if we have faith, right, the enemy can only interrupt, clog up that line of blessing when we believe the lie, when we give him power to do that. Hallelujah. That's some good revelation there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 13, and the Lord did just what Moses had predicted. The frogs in the houses, the courtyards, and all the fields died. The Egyptians piled them into great heaps, and a terrible stench filled the land. But when Pharaoh saw the relief had come, or that relief had come, he became stubborn. He refused to listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had predicted. So, in verse 16, the Lord God said to Moses, tell Aaron, raise your staff and strike the ground. The dust will turn into swarms of gnats throughout the land of Egypt. So Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded them. When Aaron raised his hand and struck the ground with his staff, gnats infested the entire land, covering the Egyptians and their animals. All the dust in the land of Egypt turned into gnats. Pharaoh's magicians tried to do the same thing with their secret arts. Oh, but this time they failed. And the gnats covered everyone, people and animals alike. This is the finger of God, the magicians exclaimed to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh's heart remained hard. He wouldn't listen to them, just as the Lord had predicted. So even the magicians, even those who were submitted to the evil one, to the enemy, to Baal, whatever, they even had to go to Pharaoh and say, look, this is a whole nother thing because we can't do this. We can't duplicate this, right? So this is the finger of God, right? So when the enemy has to testify, this is God, okay? You know that God is doing something. So verse 20, then the Lord told Moses, get up early in the morning and stand in Pharaoh's way as he goes down to the river. Say to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so they can worship me. If you refuse, then I will send swarms of flies on your officials, your people, and all the houses. The Egyptian homes will be filled with flies, and the ground will be covered with them. But this time I will spare the region of Goshen, where my people live. No flies will be found there. Then you will know that I am the Lord and that I am present even in the heart of your land. I will make a clear distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will happen tomorrow. I love this particular part of scripture right here. And we see more of this as we continue to read on. But Goshen, the land of Goshen, is where God made a difference. That's where his people were, right? And all these plagues that he was sending on Egypt did not touch the land of Goshen, did not touch a place where he had his people gathered. That is a promise that we can hold on today, that the land of Goshen, we as a consecrated people unto God, we need to understand this principle that we can live spiritually. I'm talking spiritually now, in this land of Goshen, right? Where the plagues do not befall us. You know, we don't have to be hit by the same things that the world gets hit by, okay? Or we don't have to be knocked out of the race by the same things that the world is knocked out by. We are in a place of blessing. If we are under God's umbrella, if we submit to him, if we have faith and we obey him, because remember, it's trust and obey. If it's faith and obedience, these are two sides of one coin, right? If we, these are the power twins, I like to call, you know, faith and obedience, trust and obey. That puts us in a place of protection. That puts us in spiritual Goshen. And we don't have to go through the same things. You know, we'll all get hit in this life. Things will come against us, but we'll get the victory. we'll have the final victory, right? Because we are set apart. And this is beautiful, just a beautiful description in the natural of what is a spiritual principle for us. So going back to verse 24, and the Lord did just as he said. A thick swarm of flies filled Pharaoh's palace and the houses of his officials. The whole land of Egypt was thrown into chaos by the flies. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron. All right, go ahead and offer sacrifices to your God, he said, but do it here in this land. Okay, so now Pharaoh is going to allow part of what God has demanded. But he's going to put his own twist on it. He's going to put his own conditions on that. Verse 26. But Moses replied, that wouldn't be right. The Egyptians detest the sacrifices that we offer to the Lord our God. Look, if we offer our sacrifices here where the Egyptians can see us, they will stone us. We must take a 3-day trip into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, just as he has commanded us. All right, go ahead, Pharaoh replied. I will let you go into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God, but don't go too far away. Now hurry and pray for me. Moses answered, as soon as I leave you, I will pray to the Lord, and tomorrow the swarms of flies will disappear from you and your officials and all your people. But I am warning you, Pharaoh, don't lie to us again and refuse to let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses left Pharaoh's palace and pleaded with the Lord to remove all the flies. And the Lord did as Moses asked and caused the swarms of flies to disappear from Pharaoh, his officials, and his people. Not a single fly remained, but Pharaoh again became stubborn and refused to let the people go. And that is the end of that chapter. So let's move on. We still have time. So let's move on to chapter 9. Verse 1. Go back to Pharaoh, the Lord commanded Moses. Tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so they can worship me. If you continue to hold them and refuse to let them go, the hand of the Lord will strike all of your livestock, your horses, donkeys, camels, cattle, sheep and goats with a deadly plague. But the Lord will again make a distinction between the livestock of the Israelites and that of the Egyptians. Hear that, guys? There's a difference. Not a single one of Israel's animals will die. The Lord has already set the time for the plague to begin. He has declared that he will strike the land tomorrow. And the Lord did just as he had said. The next morning, all the livestock of the Egyptians died, but the Israelites didn't lose a single animal. Pharaoh sent his officials to investigate, and they discovered that the Israelites had not lost a single animal. But even so, Pharaoh's heart remained stubborn, and he still refused to let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from a brick kiln and have Moses toss it into the air while Pharaoh watches. The ashes will spread like fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, causing festering boils to break out on people and animals throughout the land. So they took soot from a brick kiln and went and stood before Pharaoh. As Pharaoh watched, Moses threw the soot into the air, and boils broke out on people and animals alike. Even the magicians were unable to stand before Moses because the boils had broken out on them and all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And just as the Lord had predicted to Moses, Pharaoh refused to listen. Verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so they can worship me. If you don't, I will send more plagues on you and your officials and your people. Then you will know that there is no one like me in all the earth. By now, I could have lifted my hand and struck you and your people with a plague to wipe you off the face of the earth. But I have spared you for a purpose, to show you my power and to spread my fame throughout the earth. Come on now. but you still lord it over my people and refuse to let them go. So tomorrow at this time, I will send a hailstorm more devastating than any in all the history of Egypt. Quick, order your livestock and servants to come in from the fields to find shelter. Any person or animal left outside will die when the hail falls. Some of Pharaoh's officials were afraid because of what the Lord had said. They quickly brought their servants and livestock in from the fields. But those who paid no attention to the word of the Lord left theirs out in the open. And don't you know, there are people like that today. They pay no attention to what God says. You see the hurricanes and the earthquakes and the tornadoes. I mean, there's so much happening in the world today. And I know it seems like every generation says that, right? But really, in my lifetime, it seems like there's more going on in the earth, more unexplained things, more just crazy ways that people are being killed, you know, just all kind of stuff is happening. And they're paying no attention to what God says. You know, the word says that that times are just going to continue to get worse because the enemy is getting desperate. But yet, people who don't know the Lord or don't want to know the Lord are just oblivious. You know, they don't care. They're not connecting the dots. It's the same way. You know, in verse 21, he says, but those who pay no attention to the word of the Lord, they left their livestock out in the open. And it's the same today. You know, people are just leaving their lives, you know, they're just leaving their children just out in the open for the attack of the enemy. Are we leaving anything out in the open because we refuse to heed the word of the Lord? Because we think, oh, we got time. Oh, that's not going to happen now. Oh, I got a few years. Oh, it's not that bad. Listen, we need to heed the word of God. And to heed means to listen and obey. To listen and obey. And we need to be evangelizing, be telling people about the Lord. And I'm preaching to myself. You know, there are people that I know who are just out there. And I may shake my head inside. Okay, but that's not love. That's not doing anything for them. I need to tell them about Jesus. Because the earth is crying out. The earth is giving every sign imaginable that y'all better get it together. And the church had better get it together. We had better get it together. Hallelujah. All right. So verse 21. But those who paid no attention to the word of the Lord left theirs out in the open. Then the Lord said to Moses, lift your hand toward the sky so hail may fall on the people, the livestock, and all the plants throughout the land of Egypt. So Moses lifted his staff toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and lightning flash toward the earth. The Lord sent a tremendous hailstorm against all the land of Egypt. Never in all the history of Egypt had there been a storm like that, with such devastating hail and continuous lightning. It left all of Egypt in ruins. The hail struck down everything in the open field, people, animals, and plants alike. Even the trees were destroyed. The only place without hail was the region of what, guys? Where? Goshen. Goshen. Where the people of Israel lived. And that reminds me of Psalm 91. We haven't gotten there yet, but we will. And it says, oh goodness, it says, a thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. It shall not come near your dwelling. And I may have those numbers wrong. I'm doing it on the spot from memory. But the point of it is we can see people being affected all around us. The world will suffer the judgment, but we don't have to, and we won't. But we will see the wicked get their judgment, right? We will see the Lord pour out his wrath, and it won't come near us because we're in spiritual Goshen. That's a wonderful promise. Verse 27, then Pharaoh quickly summoned Moses and Aaron. This time I have sinned, he confessed. The Lord is the righteous one, and my people and I are wrong. Sounds like a heartfelt confession, right? But we know it's not, because we know what's coming. But wow. Please beg the Lord to end this terrifying thunder and hail. This just reminded me, sometimes, we'll confess to God, or we'll get down on our knees and, cry to God how sorry we are because we're living under the consequences of our actions. We open the door for the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy, right? But as soon as God gets us out of that situation, as soon as he opens the door of escape and we run through it, then we go right back to the dung, or to the stench, or to the vomit of the enemy. This is a warning to us as well. A repentance doesn't just mean it's saying I'm sorry. And in the month of Elul that we're in now, the month of repentance on God's calendar, I mean, this is every day, 365, 24/7 throughout the year, we can repent. But this is a special time on God's calendar of repentance, reminding us to turn away, okay, to turn away from those things that we know are wrong, that we know do not please God, to make a turn, to repent, to decide to go the other way, and to really mean it, and to really do it, and to ask him for his help. There is a special anointing for his help right now. So verse 20, let's go back. Verse 28. Please beg the Lord to end this terrifying thunder and hail. We've had enough. I will let you go. You don't need to stay any longer. All right, Moses replied. As soon as I leave the city, I will lift my hands and pray to the Lord. Then the thunder and hail will stop, and you will know that the earth belongs to the Lord. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God. Because he had the spirit of discernment, and he knew. All the flax and barley were ruined by the hail, because the barley had formed heads and the flax was budding. But the wheat and the emmer wheat were spared, because they had not yet sprouted from the ground. Verse 38. So Moses left Pharaoh's court and went out of the city. When he lifted his hands to the Lord, the thunder and hail stopped, and the downpour ceased. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain, hail, and thunder had stopped again, okay, when the crisis was over, right, when the storm passed, he and his officials sinned again. And Pharaoh again became stubborn. Lord God, help us. Because his heart was hard, Pharaoh refused to let the people leave, just as the Lord had predicted through Moses. And that is the end of our workout today, of our reading today in Exodus chapter 9. We are ending there. And boy, do we have some nuggets to kind of study, to meditate, to think on. And to see ourselves in these things, in these truths of the Word of God, to make sure, that we are truly repenting, that we are turning away, and to understand, that our God is a terror in himself. You know what I mean? A terror against evil, right? He's our protection, but he is a terror against those who want to harm his anointed, or who do not want to obey and listen to what he's saying. So, oh man, just a good word today. Just a good word. And tomorrow, in our next episode, we're going to correlate these plagues with the gods of Egypt, because this was just not some random plagues, okay, that God just thought up and did. These were a direct rebuke of the gods, little g, okay, that the Egyptians had held up to esteem, had submitted themselves to. And that is such an interesting thing. You know, our God is just amazing. And there are just so many hidden nuggets in the Word of God. They're hidden to those who don't care, who don't want to really go deeper and understand what God is saying, but they're not hidden to us. He gives us revelation in His Word. Amen. So thank you again for joining us. Have a wonderful, wonderful cool down and the rest of your day. And until we meet again on Walk It Out with Leah McCrae, have a wonderful, blessed rest of your day. Amen.